Glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three in One. I will praise Him. I will praise Him.
Good job. Thank y'all very much. Appreciate that. Have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts 27. We've seen some key points in the verses dealing with Paul's sea voyage to Rome to appear before Caesar. In chapter 27, in verse number 7, says, "When we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed unto Crete over against Salmone." The voyage was difficult. Out at sea in a sailing ship, we know from later verses there were 276 souls on board the ship. So it was a large ship of that day and time. But the winds were contrary, and it made the difficult journey. And life compares to that for us all. Life is a difficult thing. Being a husband, being a wife, growing up, as a young person, school, work, health issues, there's just all kind of hardships that we face. There are struggles and difficult times and trials, and God would have us to allow those to keep us strong and close to Him rather than trying to face all that difficulty alone. I often think about going through trials and tests. You know, what do people do who don't know the Lord? They go through that alone. That's what they do. They face it without God's help and without God's peace and without the assurance that comes from the Lord. They face it in difficulty and often weep in the night. We can stay close to God. He doesn't want us to get bitter with the problems of life, and difficulties that we face. He doesn't want us to be defeated. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to look to Him and keep our eyes on Him and pray and ask for His help and trust God to deal with the difficulties of life. In verse number 8, they found a port called Fair Havens, a place of rest, a place of peace, a place out of the wind, a place where they could take a break from the difficulty of the sea. And we ought to all thank God for the blessings that we enjoy, the port of Fair Havens that we face in life when we get those blessings from God, to have His peace, that we know Christ is our Savior and our sins have been taken away, and we lay down at sleep at night knowing that heaven is going to be our home and God is our Lord and we can have faith in Him. It gives us great comfort. We also have the encouragement of refreshment from the church. We come to church on Sunday and this is a place where we can get encouragement and refreshing and reminding of the way to live and the blessings of God. We have the supply of the Lord when we have needs. We pray and God supplies our needs. He's promised for those who faithfully serve Him and give unto Him that He will give back unto you and that He will supply your needs. And God's blessings are abundant. We, many of us, face those ports of Fair Haven from time to time. In chapter 27, verse number 10, Paul warned them about the danger of a hasty decision to sail right now in the later part of the year when it was time for storms. I shared with you how the world often does not listen to the voice of humble Christianity. You got to get like a Muslim and get on TV and get mean, you know, and get nasty and get ugly and like you've been defrauded all your life or something, you know. Who hasn't been defrauded all their life? Who hasn't been persecuted? Who hasn't faced difficulty and trial and hardship? We have all faced those things. They don't listen to our word. They don't listen to the past. They don't listen to Christianity. They look at it as outdated and something that can't apply to today's circumstance and situations. I want to tell you the Bible's never outdated. God has the answers for 2014 and 2015 and every year that is to come in the future. Amen. Verse 13, a soft wind blew, and they supposed they had obtained their purpose. They thought, yeah, the weather's not bad. We're going to go ahead and sail. And how many people look for the easy path, the pleasure of the moment, without thinking about the consequences of their actions and what it's going to bring back? We know as Christians that sin can have pleasure for a moment, but it is destructive. It brings headache and heartbreak and hardship to families when people choose the pleasure of the moment without thinking about the consequences. Our young folks who are often lured by TV and by society and movies and other young people telling them stories that they can choose the pleasure of sin for the moment, not thinking about the consequences, and then have to live with those consequences in the future. God help us to be people that think about the permanent, think about the eternal, think about what is most important, that we look at the failures of others and learn from that so we don't repeat the same process. In verse 14, it wasn't long after they set sail until they hit a big storm. This word Euroclydon basically means a great north wind. And they came up against this. For 14 days, they were blown out of control. They fasted. It'd be easy to fast in the middle of a storm where that ship's going up and down. You probably would be feeding the fish if you tried to eat, you know. But they were fasting because they were scared to death. Verse 20 says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. All hope that we would be saved was gone. They thought they were going to, surely they're going to die. They were fasting. I bet you they were praying. If they were idolaters, they were calling out to their idol, or they ought to be looking to something that could save them. We got missionaries coming in November, if their health allows them to be here, the coal trains, and they'll show a little video they have of that great hurricane that came upon them in the Philippines and destroyed their area. And they reached out to help some people, and there was one lady that had an idol she was carrying, and she said, why didn't you save me to that idol? You know, why didn't you save my home? Why didn't you save my family? You know, this storm. She saw the needlessness of worshiping a piece of wood that she could carry around. But many follow the wrong path. Many face great storms. And as they face this great storm, they begin to throw out the cargo to lighten the ship. That precious thing that meant so much to them, the materialistic things of this world that we think so much of, we're going to leave them all behind one day. They're just going to make a big pile of dust when this earth burns up. And material things will rust, bust, and collect dust and rob you of your joy if you put your trust and confidence in them. Everything we own, we're going to leave behind. Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Get our confidence in the Lord and not in things. Verse number 20, they had lost all their hope. And so many in the world today are in darkness. They have no hope. They don't think there's a future. They just think they're surviving from day to day. Ephesians 2:12 reminds us that there was a time before Christ that we were outside the promises and covenants and we had no hope. But now in Christ, we are made nigh unto God. This church is like a lighthouse on the hill that keeps sending out the light to show people the way. We keep sending missions to the foreign fields to show the way. And it is a world that's dark, but there's people who know how to get out of the darkness. It's through Christ that you're transformed and transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen. In Jesus Christ. Verse 25, be of good cheer, they said. 276 souls on board and all are going to be saved. Their lives are going to be saved because God is going to preserve Paul and this Christian team that's traveling with him so that Paul can stand before Caesar and give an account. So now they can set sail to find their destiny with the wind, without the worry and the fret, with an assurance that they're going to be saved, and so they can set sail with promise and protection and provision from God. Paul said, take some meat, eat now. You've gone this time fasting, eat. It's for your health, and you're all going to be saved. Not one hair of your head is going to fall. Boy, that's a great promise. Are you sailing under those colors today? Can you go out in the world tomorrow not worrying about what you might face or what you might go through because you know you belong to God? And He's protecting you and providing for you and watching over you so you can face life and all of the hardships that it brings along. Doesn't mean we know exactly what's going to happen from day to day. That's in God's hands. But He tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Serve God today. Let tomorrow take care of itself. God's in charge. We know what the end of the journey is going to be. Look down at verse 40. We'll read a few verses, beginning verse 40. When they'd taken up anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands, hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. We face these kind of storms in life. Notice today, number one, back in verse 34 through 38, they got refreshed when they ate, the fast was ended, and they gained the message, be of good cheer. You don't have to be afraid of the storm any longer. God has given us word. He's going to protect everyone. And they commit their way with a hope and an assurance. We come here to church to get our spiritual meal for the day, for the week, to be refreshed and fed up so that we can face life's difficulties and hardships, so that we can gain direction from God and keep our focus on the Lord and pressing toward the mark of His goal. And do the work He's called us to do. Be reminded that God is still on the throne no matter what the world is doing, no matter what the world says, no matter what videos the Islamists send that are beheading somebody. My friend, you can sleep in peace because God's still on the throne when you're a Christian. We arise a new day, commit ourselves to it. We can go into the world and to our work and to do our business. We can hoist up our mainsail and go out into this world regardless of the storms that we're going to face. We don't have to go in fear. Over and over, the Bible reminds us, though, to be of good courage, like Joshua. I understand one of the classes was teaching Joshua this morning in the junior's class. And over and over, God told Joshua, be strong and have a good courage. You're going to face difficulty, but you're going to be preserved. You're going to come through. You're going to win the battle. The victory is yours. And friends, God's already written the end of the book. In the end, we win when it's all over and we go home to be with the Lord. So you start worrying about something tonight, pray and turn it over to God and go to sleep because He stays up all night. He's on watch. No reason for both of you to stay awake. Get our focus off the hardship and the trials and the troubles of life and get them on the great God that we serve, who has the ability and the power. He's delivered in the past. Same God that parted the Red Sea and brought the 10 plagues on Egypt. We still serve today, and He still has that same power to deliver His people. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul kind of put it in a summary way. He said, I follow after the Lord. And in order to do that, I forget the things behind me. Reach forth unto those things which are before me. And I press toward the mark. It doesn't come easy. There's difficulty. There's labor that's required. There's an effort that we put forth in walking with God. We press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hebrews compares it to running a race. The ancient Greeks ran from Marathon to tell about the victory. It's 26 miles that the runners ran. And that's why you have a 26-mile marathon race today dedicated after the name of that. And I've never run a marathon in my life. I don't have any intention of running a marathon. I'm like the Facebook message I saw a week or so ago. Somebody posted, if you find my body on a jogging trail, you'll know someone murdered me somewhere else and put me there. I'm not there because of I'm jogging. But I used to run cross country 3 and 4 miles at a time in the Marine Corps just to stay in shape where my uniform would button, you know. So I'd get out and run some, and that was okay. My legs continued to get worse as the years had gone by. To sail a ship in a storm like they were facing required great labor. To run a marathon race requires great labor. It's not easy. In order to do a race, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our eyes on the goal, keep our eyes on the end, keep our eyes on the path that we're supposed to run. And Christ said to keep our eyes on Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Lay aside what hinders us. They threw out the cargo of the ship. It was hindering them in the storm, so they threw out the weight of the ship. And the runner takes aside all the weights that hinder him and the sin that could beset him. And he runs with patience, endurance, day by day. In Vietnam, in the Marine Corps, we put a 65 or 70 pound pack on our back when you carry 3 or 4 mortar rounds for the mortar crew. In addition to all the other stuff you have, it makes a pretty heavy pack. And in the jungles in 110 degree heat, and we'd go for 12 hours at a time and then dig a hole in the ground, what they used to call a foxhole in World War II, and then pull guard duty for 4 hours that night and sleep a couple hours and get up the next day and do it again. You say, how could a person endure that? How can you go through that? You do it one step at a time. It's like eating the elephant. How could you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's the only way you do it. My wife and I, when we first got married, we got a deep freeze and somebody was selling sides of beef, a half a cow, you know. We bought a half a cow thinking we'd never eat all that meat, you know. One day we looked down the bottom, wasn't anything left but a couple of pounds of hamburger, you know. We'd ate all the steaks and ate all the good cuts and had a little bit left in there. I don't know how long it took. It didn't take a year, I don't think. We'd ate it all. And the ministry and the hardships of life and keep serving God is all like eating the elephant or the half of beef, my friend, just one bite at a time, one day at a time. Just keep going, putting one foot in front of the other, doing what is right, and forget those things that are behind and keep pressing toward the goal to be with God. Amen. Keep our eyes on the person of Christ. He will never lead us astray. Secondly, in chapter 27, verse number 41, They were made aware the ship was going to be lost. They were all going to be saved, but they were going to lose the ship. They knew that it was going to be left behind. They were going to have to swim to shore. We're going to leave everything we own behind one day. That precious automobile, that precious truck, that precious toy, boat or camper or whatever it may be, golf cart, the house. Like to have a nice home, and you like to have a nice home. Of course you like to have a nice home, but it's going to be a pile of ashes one day. This world and everything is going to burn up, and we're going to heaven to be with the Lord. And if we serve God faithfully here, we're going to have a robe of righteousness and a crown to wear when we get home to heaven. That's what we better be focused on. We're going to leave all this behind. When they knew the ship was going to be destroyed, it helped them to keep the main thing the main thing. What's most important in your life? When you're going to know you're going to leave everything behind one day, you can probably get by with a lot less. They weren't concerned about the boat and the cargo and all those things. The last thing they had saved was the wheat, and they threw that out at the last. We can learn that lesson that I learned at Lowe's that time. I've told you about it before. Garden hose. You Yankees be proud of me. I didn't say hose pipe. Garden hose. They had 3 qualities: good, better, and best. As Christians, it's important that we learn to make the choices of life that we choose what's best, not just what's good. And that's what our biggest battle is. We know not to choose sinful things, wrong things, idle things. We know to stay away from that, but within what we do make choices every day, we have to decide, are we going to choose what's best or just what's good? Our whole lives are a series of decisions that we make. We're teaching our children by the decisions we make, whether we intend to or not. We're showing them what's important to us. When we make a choice to be at church today, you were teaching somebody the day that this was important to you to be here in the house of God. You're doing what's best. It's important that we choose what's best, not just choose what's good. Our young folks need to learn that. They're going to have to make a whole series of choices in life. Some of you old folks like me, we've already made a whole lot of decisions that we're going to live with for the rest of our days. But there's a lot of young married couples and young people here today, and they're going to have a future of making a lot of choices and decisions. The careers, where they're going to work, who they're going to marry. Boy, you better pray hard and make good choices when it comes to that. I tell folks, preachers and marriages are a lot alike. There's nothing better than a good one. There's nothing worse than a bad one. You can make some wrong choices and it'll hurt your family. We don't want to do that. We want to make the right choices. Too many choose the things that are convenient, what they desire, rather than thinking about the consequences of their actions. Every time I say that word, I think about Bob Barker. He had a TV show long before the one he retired from. First one he came on TV, it was just black and white, called Truth or Consequences. Had a monkey, chimpanzee, sitting in a chair with a little horn, go, bleh. He'd ask people a question, you know, truth or consequences? You're going to tell the truth or you're going to choose the consequences? And he'd ask something they couldn't answer, you know, and the monkey would go, bleh. And then they'd have to go get hit with a water balloon or, you know, get something dumped on them or whatever, you know, it's funny. And I'm reminded that every choice we make has consequences. Last of all, God was willing to save Paul, and so all 276 souls would be saved. Not only did God spare them, but the centurion was moved also. He wanted to save Paul. He knew Paul had something going for him more than just being a Roman citizen. And the soldiers would have killed the prisoners, but the centurion said no, he wanted to save Paul. So all of their lives were spared because of this. You see, as Christians, we can have an influence to help save others from the judgment of God by giving them the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation. Verse 42 and 43, God worked on this centurion's heart and he spared Paul and all the prisoners. Sometimes God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. The ship is broken up. Some of them take pieces of the boards and some could swim. They come to land. They escape safe, the Bible says. I know you think as I do, I want my family to escape safe from this wicked world in which we live. I want them to escape safe to the shores of heaven one day with God and have the peace of God in their hearts to know they're saved now and will be saved in the future from this presence of sin. I want my grandkids to be safe. I want all in this church to be safe. Like Noah, who was moved with fear, built an ark to the saving of his household, we're building a church to the saving of souls to the best we can. We want everybody to be saved. You see, there's judgment coming, a lot greater than this storm that they faced. And you and I need to be moved by seeing the judgment of God coming to prepare a way of escape through Christ. Somebody wrote a little poem. I want to read it for you. One ship drives east and the other west. With the self-same wind they blow. It's the set of the sail and not the gale that determines the way they go. Like the winds of the sea or the ways of fate as we journey along through life, it's the will of the soul that decides its goal and not the calm or the strife. Everybody in life faces commonly a lot of the same things. The choices you make determine the outcome. And the great choice you need to make is you know for sure that Christ is your Savior. And make a choice to live for Him and serve Him. And when you do that, you can have peace and assurance that He will protect you, provide for you, and make a way no matter what the storms of life we face. Let's stand together, please. Father, we love you and we thank you for this assembly of people here today. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessings and provision that you give to each of us. We pray that if there's one person here today or someone who listens to the message through the internet, that if they're not saved, that they'll see their great need to be delivered from the wrath that is to come, from the judgment of God, and from the storms of life. And Lord, that we can be delivered through Jesus Christ if we put our faith and trust in Him. Help us to believe what you said in your word, that Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And He is exalted as Lord, and those who believe in Him can be saved and delivered from the wrath to come. We claim that promise for ourselves, and we ask for that for the lost today. We pray you'll work in hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.